Hello and welcome to the Worship and Coffee podcast. I know it's been a long, long time and I'm very sorry. It is 2026. It is quite a ways into 2026, but we are back. We are back today and I got something extra special. Well, I guess it's just for me because you're watching me and you don't get to enjoy this. But since we have last talked, I have acquired a espresso machine, homemade espresso machine. So here I've got 18 grams of freshly ground. You can see that freshly ground dark roast. And I've got my portafilter here. And I'm going to go make myself an espresso and I will be right back. All right, thought I'd give you a little update. We got the puck prep all done. It's all ready to go. Got the stainless steel filter screen to keep the machine clean. And here we go. Well, I am still working on getting it completely dialed in. But as you can see, we've got a decent espresso there with a nice crema on top. Let me try and adjust the camera a little bit. I don't know if I can do it. Gonna spill all over my stuff. And cheers to 2026. At least as far into 2026 as we are so far already. So thank you for coming back. Sorry it took me so long to get back. I thought I would start my first podcast of this year the same way that we did the very first podcast of all, which was with a hymnal review. And this is a hymnal I was planning on reviewing already anyway. Today we have Anthem Songs. This is a serious piece of hardware here. This is thick, this is heavy, and this, I feel, is quite the accomplishment. The team that put this together did such an amazing job. I don't remember if this was purchased, I don't know what printing they're on now, but this was maybe their second or third printing. So I was kind of following them as they were doing like Kickstarters and getting ready, but did not end up buying one of their initial ones. But this was a pretty early printing. So some of the things that I might talk about today might not be the case anymore if you were to pick up one of these yourself today. Now, one, like I said, the first thing that you sort of see when you pick this up is just how big and heavy it is. So that is a little issue that I have with it, is just its size. Part of it is even the paper is kind of thicker, a little bit, everything about it is sort of bigger and heavy, but I also feels very sturdy, like it's gonna last for a long, long time. So if you're buying them for your house or you're buying them for your pews, I think you don't have to worry about it very much. Now, what makes this hymnal so unique is just the sheer song selection that they've put in here. And I love this hymnal for a church or a home that wants to have a quality songbook, either, like I said, either in your pews or on your shelf, a quality songbook that spans generations. It's amazing. In fact, here's what the title page says. Anthem Songs is a collection of hymns and songs from every era of the church, intended to promote unity and multi-generational worship for the honor, glory, and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, and I feel like every era of the church might be a little bit of a stretch because it's not actually that, but it really feels like that when you are reading through it. This is really good, by the way. By the way, speaking of, I'm gonna pause for a second when I got back to my coffee. So now I have this machine over there sitting on my counter. So if you have any particular strange viral espresso beverage things you want me to try, I'm willing to endure them. Many of you joined us for our Advent coffee thing, and that was awful. So I am not sure that any of those little experiments will be worse than those K-cups throughout Advent were. So sidebar, put in the comments below what's some good coffee to try, and I'll try it, or what's a good espresso beverage idea to try, and I will work on making that, trying to figure it out But yes, not going back to K-Cups
ever again.
So really, really love a lot of the choices they made here. They did a great job to try to get centuries of songs are in this book. And one of the things I appreciate is they really did not try to target, I don't know, a particular style as saying like, this is our niche. They just said, you know what? We're just going to pick songs that are scriptural and that would work for a wide variety of people across all sorts of generations. I also wanted you to hear these words that they have about their song selection. So they had a team of people picking out songs. They also had a biblical advisory committee that were trying to do the theology. But here's what they wrote. This was actually a quote from an older hymn called The Choice Hymns of Faith. And it says, "While we have taken great care to include only hymns that are true to the Word of God, we have not been ultra critical. Hence, some lines and phrases may be questioned, while others will doubtless have to be sung as aspiration rather than experience." So, and of course, they weren't necessarily targeting, you know, some hymnals are like, you have the United Methodist hymnal, and you have the Baptist hymnal, and you've got the Lutheran hymnal, and they're targeting theologies that would be really specific to those denominations. This hymnal is also not that. So they are not necessarily trying to hit a specific denominational theology. So some songs might be perfectly acceptable in one denomination, but they may have some theologies that might be slightly questionable in another denomination. They also made the decision to update some of the words. So if a hymn had some older text in it, that they might go ahead and update the words a little bit. If even the these and thous, so if poetically, if they weren't in there to rhyme, they might change that to you or your, that kind of thing. I also think it's very interesting that they have, there's so many contemporary songs in here that would not be considered hymns. So I was just talking about this the other day with someone. I consider hymn to be a style, not a time period. So some people, I think wrongly, would say that hymns are old songs. So, you know, if it was written before 1975, then it's a hymn. Well, I would strongly disagree with that. One, because I think there are plenty of hymns being written today. We reviewed the Getty Sing Hymnal back in October, I believe, and clearly that the Gettys are writing hymns. And they're not the only ones. They're not the only ones writing hymns. In fact, some of modern hymn writers that were left out of the Getty's hymnal are included in this one. But they also have a number of contemporary songs that I would not consider hymns. So sure, we can call this a hymn book. Do they even call this a hymn? It says collection of hymns and songs. So I would actually consider this more of just a fantastic songbook rather than calling it a hymn book, because it's not necessarily a collection of hymns, although really, neither was the Getty hymnal. There were some more praise chorus-y kind of non-hymns from time to time in there. But what's nice is they've also included, they include the normal hymnal stuff that you'd expect, hymn meter, rhyme scheme, that kind of thing. But if it's a contemporary song, they might also write in a roadmap. And if you're familiar with sort of modern worship music, especially communication with musicians on there, you might see like V1, V2, C for chorus, B for bridge. So on some of these songs, they've included that roadmap. And even at the beginning, they sort of explain what the roadmap is. So if that's not something that's familiar to you, you can, they've given you the explanation. And just to give you a little guideline of, here's potentially a way that you could sing the song. Anyway, so they've split the hymnal up into two major sections here. So there's worship and remembrance, and response and celebration. And so they've sort of blocked two halves of the book into those two sections. So the beginning of the hymnal, I would say, looks like even the first 168 hymns are really praise, adoration, exaltation, glorifying the Lord, worship the Lord, the name of the Lord, praise for Creator, like all of that. That's the first 168. And then there's a number of remembrance hymnals, Christ's sufferings, the cross. Then we have Jesus our Savior, Jesus our peace. Thank the Lord, the grace of God, the love of God, and the resurrection. So there's quite a bit of really quality content in there, and we'll go through that some of that in a minute. And then there's the response and celebration. You have affirmation, assurance, faith and trust, testimony, the word of God, prayer, walking with God, devotion, surrender, victorious living, invitation, the Great Commission, the living church, the incarnation, future hope, and then closing. Now, one other thing that is you'll notice if you were going through this hymnal is it really is a songbook. A lot of hymnals will include scripture readings and congregational readings. This does not include that. So when this has 655 hymns in it or songs in it, there are 655 songs in here. Again, other hymnals, you know, hymn number 43 might just be Psalm 100 or some other reading that's good for the church. And those are great things to have. I'm not saying that those are bad. I'm just saying like that is one distinctive of this book is it really is meant to be simply a songbook. Now they did pick out a verse for every song. One of my favorite decisions that they made, and it doesn't seem like it's that consequential, but I just think it's excellent, is hymn number one is In Christ Alone. And I think that's where it belongs. People can argue all day about what hymn should go where, but I just love that they just said, you know what? We're starting with In Christ Alone. And while over the centuries, songs fall in and out of our Christian catalog, that's just the nature of how music works. Many songs stay the test of time. The church will be singing Amazing Grace until the return of Christ. I believe that the church will be singing In Christ Alone until the return of Christ as well. So then you immediately notice the difference. By the time you get to hymn number three is 10,000 Reasons. And here is an example of that. Focus, not on me. There you go. There's that chorus one, chorus, verse one, chorus, verse two, chorus, verse three, chorus. Sort of flow that they give you at the bottom as just an example, as a nice little hint in the right direction. And, it, you know, blended in all of these songs, you've got new songs and old songs and plenty of... The licensing for this must have been crazy because there's so many songs that are still in copyright, that things that they would have had to go through. But yes, it's really tremendous that you can go, you can have praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer, and then the next page over, you have Better Is One Day. And I feel like that's the songs, they've got a good 80s, 90s selection of music in here, which is sort of a neglected era, I think, when it comes to collections like this. So it's really nice that they have that. I know like when I do 80s, 90s, early 2000s songs at our church, somebody's definitely going to come up to me and say, thank you so much for doing that song. And I'm like, we're the old people now. We want our old songs back. That's what has happened. That's what has happened. So anyway, so here's a good example. I just flipped to Come Thou Fount. So we can argue all day long whether these were good decisions or bad decisions, but here are some of the decisions that they made. So here's verse 2. O to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Teach me, Lord, some rapturous measure, fit for blood-bought hosts above, while I sing the countless treasure of my God's unchanging love. So that's a pretty major departure from the original words. And even verse 3, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Yet the Lord has deigned to seal it with thy spirit from above. Rescued thus from sin and danger, purchased by the Savior's blood, may I walk on earth a stranger as a son and heir of God. So great words. But again, if you're sort of a purist about some of these things, you might get a little flustered with a few of these changes. So as you go through here, there really is such a, I mean, again, 168 songs to begin, all praise, adoration. Awesome God is right in here. And right next to Great is the Lord, He is holy and just. You know, there's eight, that's 82. So it really is an excellent, excellent selection of songs. We've got, let me flip to the back. I'm going to give you some examples of some of the authors, because they've got a nice, some good indexes in here. Bible verses that go with songs. So if you, hey, I'm looking for a song based on this Bible verse, then it will take you to those Bible verses. So I'll give you some examples. Where are we at? Of course, you've got some of the great hymn writers, Isaac Watts and Fanny Crosby's got plenty of things in here. But then you've got Paul Balash, who's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hymns in here. Of course, Matt Boswell and a number of the other Getty people are in here. Jason Ingram, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 songs by Jason Ingram. Just to give you an example of some sort of modern, Ben Fielding, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 maybe. Ed Cash, who, if you don't know Ed Cash, so he's in the band, it just left my head. I'll remember it in like 10 minutes. But before Ed was in the band that he's in now, and still, I guess, today, he would be a songwriter with some of the greatest songwriters of today. And so you might have seen his name on a number of things. In fact, 23 is the first Ed Cash song, and I'm guessing it is. It is. How Great is Our God. So he was with Chris Tomlin writing that song. Also Jesse Reeves, who I mentioned. I think, oh no, I said somebody else. But Jesse Reeves was in there too. Of course, we've got Bob and Jordan Coughlin, who've been both writing some amazing songs over the years. I wanted to see, oh yeah, Matt Redman has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And Chris Tomlin has a bazillion songs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 Chris Tomlin songs. He's actually beaten Charles Wesley in this book, if you could believe it. But again, the nice thing is we have such a wide range of artists in here. So we've got Darlene Check, and we have Martin Luther, and we've got Matt Papa, and we've got Bill Gaither, and you've got Charles Wesley and Isaac Watts and Robin Mark. Ooh, I'm actually curious to see which Robin Mark song ended up in here. That was 513. Jesus, All for Jesus. That's actually a great, great song from 1991. Right next to You Are My All in All by Dennis Jerrigan. You are my strength when I am weak. Yes, you guys know that one. Reuben Morgan and, why can't I not remember his name? Names are not working well in my head today. Yeah, and like I said, a number, well, even a number of the people from Hillsong are in here. And wouldn't you know it, let's see how many. Phil Wickham has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 songs in here. 292, just to give you an example, is This is Amazing Grace. There we go. This is Amazing Grace. I believe Living Hope is in here somewhere as well. 247, maybe? Oh, we'll get to that one in a second. Oh, yes, there it is. Living Hope in here as well. So, really just an excellent collection. I will definitely have a link to this below. And if you want to have a songbook that you can turn to that's going to speak to, I think it speaks really, really well to people that are alive right now, which I know is a funny thing to say when talking about a hymnal. But if you have a church like our church that has, you know, we've got babies and we have, got people in their late 90s and everything in between and everything in between. And it's really just a beautiful picture of multi-generationalism. And I think when you can turn to an old song and you can say, hey, we're going to sing it as well today, or you can turn to a Gaither tune, or you can sing some of these gospel tunes that are in here, which are not necessarily my favorite songs, but, you know, we have Bound for Glory, We have I'll Fly Away. When This Passing World Is Done. You have all of these songs. And then you've got stuff from the 70s and 80s, which be like my parents would be a huge fan of that. Then you have the 90s and the zeros, which is sort of when I was growing up getting all of those songs. And then, of course, you've got songs written all the way until this was published, I believe, in 21. Let me double check that again. Yes, in 21. So all the way until then. And, you know, so I, you know, one of our When the Rollers Called Up Yonder, Sweet By and By, all right near Revelation song. So that was actually written in 2004, everybody. Revelation song is already that old. 22 years old. So, you know, if you've got a church that you would like to have a hymnal for, and you want to have you want to have something that's going to connect with all the generations that could potentially be in your church, this is the book. This is the book. Now, of course, the problem with any hymnal, which is the primary reason why I just really wouldn't want to invest in one for my church situation, is that it has a front and a back cover, and there's no room to add any more songs. So, and I think I talked about this with the Sing hymnal from the Gettys as well. You know, this is a great collection of songs that is already 5 years out of date. And that's just the reality of hymn books. And so, and not that we shouldn't have them or that they're not great, but that is a disadvantage, is that new songs are written all the time and you can't add them to your hymnal. Now, one thing I wanted to also mention, let me pull this up really quick. Oops. Some of the additional resources that they have available for this, because they have some great resources. They also have a really lovely social media team that puts out some just great posts. Just I really like all of their different posts. So they've got the hymnal, of course. You can buy all the slides for all the songs in PowerPoint or XML or TXT. The package comes with all of those. So then if you don't want to put these slides together, they've already got them ready to go for you. They have also a guitar chord book, which is a binder, a big binder that you can flip through, and then a piano accompaniment book, which is the same thing, where it's bound and a lot easier to... Let's see if I get a picture of it. Oh, yeah, there you go. I'll pull up this picture. There we go. So you can see it's sort of bound, double spiral bound, so it would lay flat on the piano really, really nicely. It's, you know, it's a little pricey at $100, but if you're going to have an accompanist, a pianist playing some of these songs, pianists know that hymn books do not, like, when you hold them up, they just sort of flop around and they do that. So having something really nice like that where you can turn the pages and go to is a really nice edition. Hey, I just opened to a random page, and here we have David Crowder. And of course, Ed Cash, because Ed Cash is in everything, but David Crowder. And so that is, oh yes, and here is Elevation Worship. Here's Chris Brown, Mac Brock, Do It Again. Just give you some examples. Good, Good Father is in here. Christ Arose, of course. Resurrecting, back to another Elevation song. You know, by your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. That song's already 11 years old, too. But again, just an excellent collection of hymns. Link will be below to the Anthem Songs website. Check them out also on social media. And last thing I'll say to you is I've been talking to a number of different people about some guest appearances on the podcast. Hopefully we'll start having a lot less of just me and a lot more of other people as well. And we're going to get moving here into 2026, drinking coffee, talking about topics that are relevant to contemporary worship, as well as digging through the Bible and seeing what we can learn about worship through there. Thank you so much for joining us. There's never a reason to drink bad coffee. And we'll see you next time.